For the last 20 years, a very important and sustaining part of my life has been meeting about monthly with a small group of pastors. We'll meet for 2 or 3 hours, and we come together to share of our lives, and we share in prayer. Our last meeting was on Wednesday, and I completely forgot about it. We were to meet at, there's currently 5 in the group, we were to meet at 9 o'clock at the Roanoke Mennonite Church at 9:03. My phone rings with a basic, "Tim, where are you and are you coming?" And oops, I forgot about that. So trying to decide, do I still come, should I go, and so forth. And so I asked Cal Zare, who was on the phone, I said, "Well, who's there?" And he said, "Well, it's Brian and I." It turned out that 2 of the members couldn't make it. So I said, "So it's just the 2 of you. You and Brian are there." And he said, "Yes, the 2 of us. And of course, the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Lord God, you are everywhere and you are here. Ever present and yet over all. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts that are attuned to your presence, we pray in your name. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Jim Bortel preached on prayer, and he made the following statement, which caught my ear. It was, "Prayer is to our spiritual inside what punctuation is to prose writing. Imagine removing, with a word processor, all the punctuation from a page of writing. The page becomes confusing and a jumble of words. Without the punctuation of prayer," and then this I underlined, "life becomes a jumble of happenings with little direction, delight, help, or goal." Just a whimsical little exercise. You might want to look that over without punctuation. Of course, I just read it, so maybe you can sort it out, but that is what it would look like. Life becomes a jumble of happenings with little direction, delight, help, or goal. Now, in a way, my focus is not this morning on prayer as we usually think of it, but it is about a prayer, which is known as the prayer of, and then there's 2 ways to pronounce this, either examine or examine. I'm going to set that aside for a moment, and so yes, this is about prayer, but I want to take us in a little bit different direction to begin with. I'm really talking about the jumble of life. I'm thinking about what I didn't see. How would you characterize that, my function in that story? I guess I was easy on myself when I wrote down here in my notes, it was absent-mindedness regarding the Holy Spirit being present. So when Cal said, "Well, it's me and Brian and the Holy Spirit," I said, "Well, yes, of course, there's that. I should have known better. I shouldn't have left that out of the story." But when I think about that, it's as if on the screen of my mind, as I took my mind to the room I knew that we'd be meeting in, upstairs there at the Roanoke Mennonite Church, all that I could see were the 2 people that I knew. I couldn't correctly identify what was happening. I hadn't framed that picture as saying God was there in that room. And so that's why I said then, in essence, well, as near as I can tell, it's just the 2 of us. Am I the only one who sometimes thinks like that? Our heads tell us something else, but in fact, the reality is I suspect there may be at least 1 or 2 of you who might have done the same thing. And isn't it interesting, Joe noted properly, we are now in the 4th Sunday of Easter. And in some ways, that was exactly the season of transition in which those early believers found themselves. Jesus has gone. Or has he? Jesus is no longer in sight. Or is he? They were dealing with that reality of being able to see through their ocular faculties, to be able to see Jesus, and then wrestling with this new reality that Jesus was there, but in a way that took a different kind of sight. Now, experientially, we might ask ourselves, in that quiet moment, when the youth choir sang their last note, was the Holy Spirit here, palpably, or was that just a song? What did we experience? What is it in this world that we know is greater than that which we might immediately notice? That's really the question this morning. And what Jim said last Sunday, he said, for us, oftentimes life is just a jumble, and there is little direction, little delight, little help, little goal. It is this that I would like to speak about this morning. How can we, and when I say how, I'm going to take this in a direction of a particular exercise, not just a philosophical thing, but how can we see what really is more clearly? I'm going to do this in three stages. First, I'll take us back very briefly, 600 years. Make an introduction. Then we're going to go back a couple thousand years. Then we'll come back to our present here and now. If we go back 600 years, that takes us to Ignatius of Loyola. Saint Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuit order. And I don't know if Ignatius has ever been called this before, but this morning I'm going to name him the Saint of Unjumbling. Because Ignatius taught his followers about a practical practice to make more clear their seeing. Brothers and sisters, he said, here is something you can do to see God, to see Jesus, to see the Holy Spirit in the midst of life. And we will come back then to the present, and that's what I'm going to look at, the specific instructions left to us by Saint Ignatius. Just a teaser. Didn't have this in. It's so interesting the way our worship services unpack. I had no idea what Joe was going to say to introduce this service. And he had us bow our heads and listen to a prayer by Mary Oliver of somebody whose mind was jumbled and heavy. And then something happened that was larger that transformed this person's perception away from, as I heard the poem, the heaviness and smallness of self into the reality of something much more blessed, and grace came to that person's life. They saw in a way that they'd never seen in creation. One way of seeing. But let's go even further back than 600 years. It turns out that when we go back thousands of years, this takes us into our holy book, the ancient scriptures, the gift which is given to us. I am sorely tempted to do what preachers do, and that is talk too much rather than let the text talk for themselves. I'm going to resist that temptation by simply putting these up, reading them. What do you note about insight, seeing, perceiving, and so forth as you look at these? Since this is our holy book, I think it behooves us to take this guidance seriously. Now, each of these has its own context, each of these has its own particular meaning, but just take this impressionistically. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Let us examine and probe our ways. And let us return to the Lord. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. But a man or woman, a person, must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? How many are my iniquities and sins? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. Make known to me my rebellion and sin. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. And finally, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Doing what I said I wouldn't do, but doing it only in a couple of sentences. My assessment, my framing of how things are, my unjumbling is not done in comparison to what others think. It is in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. I'm hoping you could see the connecting thread in here. Think, meditate, examine, disclose. We are to be about getting clear what is in us, how we in fact are living, what is this world in which we live, and how is God involved in this world? Oh, so it's just the two of you and the Holy Spirit. So apply that to any situation in which you find yourself, your vacation, your family life, the argument you're in the middle, and where is the Holy Spirit? How do we see more deeply? So we come back to St. Ignatius, to whom is generally given credit for this prayer of, I will call it the prayer of examen. And he suggested that this is a daily discipline. There are those among us here who already practice this. There are some of us who probably have never heard of this, but it is the prayer of examen. It's intended as a daily discipline. It's usually practiced in the evening, but it can be in the morning. Again, generally, it is thinking back on the day, but one can take the practice, change the grammar, and make it a future practice. Where will God be? How do I anticipate? What am I looking for? Because oftentimes we see what we look for. It has been the evidence of the centuries since St. Ignatius that framing life in this way can have the function of unjumbling and bring Jesus Christ alive and make God visible in our lives as we consider our ways. Now, you can go online Put in the prayer of examen. You'll find different variations of it. There's nothing unique about this. In terms of pedagogy, this is a teaching moment, but it's not a write this down and try to remember this. It's too many words. I'm just giving you, impressionistically telling you, this is out there as a practice, and in your own good time, you can, at a leisurely way, see how might I craft this myself. So I'm just impressionistically giving you this, too many words, too many points, but just to ponder. So one way of looking at this is that the five stages of this prayer would be to relish the moments that went well and to think of all of the gifts that I have today. Gratitude, it is said, is the basis of our relationship with God. It's the foundation. So I now am taking something which will be distributed in the sermon response class. This was one version of it. This person says, I begin by giving thanks for all the things I'm grateful for today. I allow my mind to wander as I reflect on the ways God has blessed me, things big and small. Everything from the gift of faith, well, that sounds right, the gift of my marriage, if that is the case, to the easy commute to work today. Every single thing was a gift. The second then is to request the Spirit to lead me through my review of the day, asking for the Spirit. And this is a part of it, is to review and to recognize, the third one, failures. I look back at my day and I ask the Lord to point out to me the moments when I have failed in ways large and small. I take a sobering look at the mistakes I made this day. It is, in some ways, and I mean this literally, it is mortifying to look back on one's day. I say this literally in that morti would be death. It is humanizing. It diminishes me to who I am when I think back. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I would have said that. I should have done this, and so forth and so on. To realize, how do I really live? I'm a follower of Jesus, but how do I really live? The request for the Spirit, going back to the second one, this author says, I ask God to fill me with His Spirit so that the Spirit can lead me through this difficult soul-searching. Otherwise, I'm liable to hide in denial, wallow in self-pity, or seethe in self-loathing. It'll just bring me down with no hope. Lord God, this is not what You are about. You are a God of love. Might I be honest about myself, but guide me in this, because I know that this is a part of Your guidance toward growth. Then repent of my mistakes or failures, ask for forgiveness, and ask for healing. If I have not sinned but simply made a mistake, I ask for healing of any harm that might have been done. I ask for help to get over it and move on. I ask for wisdom to discern how I might better handle such tricky moments in the future. But if I have sinned, I ask God to forgive me and set me straight again. And then finally would be, pray about the next day. If you look at that list there that you see up here, you'll notice those five R's. If I rearrange the slide slightly, that's another way to remember: to relish, request, review, repent, and resolve. And that would be the prayer of examen. Do you know we prayed this already today? I didn't know this either, but I noticed it. If not prayed it, we at least proclaimed it. This was the perspective that we proclaimed in song was true with number 46. What's really going on? On this Earth Day, whose creation is this? Where do we see God? Where is God? Where will God be in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20? God is in all things and is with us. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command, and all the stars obey, and that tender-legged deer comes out of the woods, and that's God as well. Earth Day isn't just some liberals inventing something. That is a proclamation of what God has done and is doing. This is my Father's world, we sing. In verse 2 of 46, I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. Thank you, Lord, that I had breakfast, that I had lunch, and then, Lord, forgive me, because some don't. And we start to see God's spirit and God's mind is hovering and still creating over this not yet redeemed creation. God formed the creatures with a word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, but that's the prayer of examine. If I survey, if I see, if I look, rather than just doing this, if I look at the world around me and the human beings and the relationships, if I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee. Ever think about that phrase? All that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. There's not a place where we can flee. But God is present there. Oh, it's not just Sunday morning and then business as usual. I'll get on with my life and periodically check in with God. There's not a place where I can flee even when I'm at my worst. But God is present there. And when I'm at my best and most puzzled and most confused and most delighted and most oblivious. Who's at the meeting? Is it just the two of you? It's the two of us and the Holy Spirit. With that, I end. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there. Amen.